This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It was a disaster under President Obama.
President Trump saying Affordable Care Act as his administration is trying to weaken Obamacare's contraceptive mandate, a bid that's currently before the U.S. Supreme Court. Trump saying it's not the only provision in Obamacare that makes him want it replaced altogether.
What we want to do is terminate it and give great health care, and we'll have great health care, including pre-existing conditions, 100% pre-existing conditions.
The president also saying on another issue, it is not sustainable for America to stay shuttered during the coronavirus pandemic. He says the American people will not abide by stay-at-home orders much longer, although he says older people will have to continue to practice social distancing. He said the pandemic is worse than Pearl Harbor and the September 11th attacks. This is USA Radio News.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says the Chinese government could have prevented hundreds of thousands of people from dying around the world by being more transparent about COVID-19 from the start. And Pompeo says the world is learning that lesson.
I'm heartened by this newfound realism. The free nations of the world are starting to understand that China doesn't share those democratic values that we hold dear or their economic interests, and that this matters to the entire world.
Meanwhile, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, is urging the Trump administration to break economic dependence on China. Wall Street futures have been up more than 1% as investors wait to see how bad the latest unemployment filing news will be. It will be released at about 8:30 Eastern time today. Dow futures at last check were up over 1 point at 256 points. S&P 500 and NASDAQ futures both up more than 1.25%. This is USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Questions being raised about one aspect of the Trump administration's coronavirus pandemic response, as we hear from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Questions are being raised about how President Trump's son-in-law arranged for young volunteers from Wall Street to help the government quickly obtain needed medical gear. It's now the subject of a whistleblower complaint. The president describes the team recruited by Jared Kushner as brilliant young people.
Some people would say nerds.
But to California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna, the team was completely unqualified. Coming mainly from the worlds of finance and corporate consulting, the volunteers were tasked with getting leads on masks, gloves, gowns, and ventilators for FEMA to purchase. But close to 70% of the leads were dead ends. Khanna believes the arrangement complicated FEMA's ability to obtain needed supplies.
Why are we not relying on people who are experts?
President Trump says,
I think they did an incredible job.
And former superstar quarterback Brett Favre returning money he didn't actually earn. The Mississippi State auditor saying Favre will give back $1.1 million he had received for speeches he never gave. In fact, he's already paid $500,000 back. This after a report showed the money was part of a total of $94 million that was either misspent or wasted in the state of Mississippi. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour on this National Day of Prayer. And to be honest with you, when I had scheduled Bill Federer, I thought, what a perfect time. And there's so many things that I always enjoy talking with Bill about. And a National Day of Prayer, boy, is at the very core and the very soul of what America is all about, Bill Federer.
Well, it definitely is, Bill. And Ronald Reagan is the one who said it on the first Thursday in May. And it was Harry S. Truman who established the National Day of Prayer, which we're celebrating today. But days of prayer have been proclaimed throughout our history. In the colonial times, they would have days of prayer when things were going bad. Mm-hmm. When things were going really bad, they would have days of fasting and prayer. And then when things turned around, they had days of thanksgiving.
Exactly.
And even Ben Franklin where they had the Constitutional Convention said, during our contest with Great Britain, we had daily prayer in this assembly for God's assistance. He says our prayers were heard, that we've seen the instances of divine interposition in our affairs, and so they were not deists. Mm-hmm. Deists believe that God created the laws of nature and left. Sort of like you wind up a clock and set it on a table. So deists don't pray. It's like, well, everything's just following.
Exactly.
Our founders were not deists. They believed you could pray, God would intervene in your behalf.
Yes. Yeah, we have a God that's participating in the very thing he created. He has not abandoned us. That is one of those big lies that are out there. Because, you know, we get to that point where we lower God's influence and we increase the importance of man, and like the book of Judges, we begin to see things according to our own eyes. Now we become the standard, not God.
Right, and, you know, I read through all of the Continental Congress, and they were continually having days of fasting and prayer. So you had just 2 months before the Declaration of Independence, the Continental Congress unanimously passes a day of fasting and prayer through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ. They rush a copy of it out to George Washington, who's in New York. He orders his troops to observe the day of fasting and prayer. He appoints chaplains to every regiment, appoints how much they're going to be paid. And then you see when the Constitution is finally written, George Washington has another day of prayer. And he says, we thank God for the Constitution that has recently been passed, it did it again with the Bill of Rights. There was a whiskey rebellion, so the country is now brand new. It's 1796. And you had some farmers, Western Pennsylvania, that are not happy because of, you know, having to ship stuff to market and gets taxed along the way. And so they decide they're going to rebel again. It would have signaled instability, which may have drawn the British to come back over. And so this was a serious time. Washington is the only president to sit on a horse and lead the army while being president. Mm. But then he has a day of prayer. He says, all persons of the United States render sincere and hearty thanks to the great ruler of the nations for the possession of constitutions of government. And we fervently beseech the kind author of these blessings to establish habits of sobriety, order, and morality. I could go on. During a threatened war with France, the second president, John Adams, had 2 days of fasting and prayer. And
you see, this is the thing, Bill. See, we've had this legacy of prayer. And even now, you know, with the National Day of Prayer happening today in the midst of the coronavirus and what's been going on, and, you know, to hear you recount history, the thing that possibly could be missing, I know that there are some parishes or some, you know, churches that are coming together, fasting and praying, you know, for the coronavirus. And in this situation, in every dire situation in the history of man, when you have found themselves in the valley of the shadow of death, they have found God and come out of it with a greater awakening and appreciation of God's, you know, continual hand upon our lives.
Well, you know, you bring up this current situation. In 1849, there was a cholera epidemic. The disease originated in India. The British took over India, a quarter of the world's population. Some of the Indian people bathed in the sewage-filled Ganges River and got a waterborne disease called cholera, just a local thing. But when the British put in steamboats and railroads, now people infected with cholera quickly went back to Europe. The disease killed millions, came across the United States, killed 150,000 people in America.
Wow.
1849 is when the California Gold Rush started. So, gee, some of the people infected with cholera went out to California. Mm. And 12,000 died along the way. You know, they'd circle their wagons around the water hole. And, so the president is Zachary Taylor. And he declares a day of fasting and prayer to be observed the first week of August, 1849. He says, a fearful pestilence is spreading itself throughout the land. It is fitting that a people whose reliance has ever been in his protection should humble themselves before his throne, acknowledging past transgressions, ask a continuous divine mercy. And then he goes on, recommends that the first Friday in August be observed as a day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. And guess what? By the end of August, the death rates dropped off. So a good response to that.
Exactly.
But, you know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, well, President Trump, you know, several weeks ago declared a day of prayer, you know, and again, see, this is some of the stuff that we're fighting, because we're fighting the resistance that somehow sees that anything that Trump would do that would be positive, they're either not going to report on it or they're going to report on it in a way that is so negative and counterproductive. And here's the opportunity, and this is where the mainstream media is hurting themselves, because they have become the bastions of fake news. And at a time when they, you know, they need to be instrumental in uniting the people, they are just, you know, again, providing more resistance, and they're exacerbating the problem, because, you know, people can believe what they want to believe. But just as you're sharing with us right now, you know, God has been instrumental in the healing of the lands time and time again. Why would we not turn to God?
Well, you know, the founders had the understanding that fear and faith are mutually exclusive. You cannot be in faith and in fear at the same time. Matter of fact, just about every book in the Bible, somewhere in there, it says fear not.
Yes.
But we see our country being whipped into this fear, this panic, this frenzy. And in this panic, we're knee-jerk reactions, surrendering all of our freedoms. And throughout our country's history, we have these presidents calling us, no, have faith. You know, when the British burned the White House, President James Madison declared a day of fasting and prayer. Mm. And that's significant because he's the one who introduced the First Amendment. Here he is as president having a day of fasting and prayer.
Yeah, Bill, I'm reminded that the Bible mentions some 365 times fear. Fear not. And so it's interesting, 365. So for every day of the year, we should be reminded to fear not, because a God who loves us, who created this popcorn stand, is still very much involved, and he's in love with his creation, and he will take care of us if only we will turn to him. And today, a National Day of Prayer, maybe an opportunity to do some fasting as well. Why not? More from Bill Fetter after this.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ, based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. From germ-zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids. 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1-liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30-count bottle of Immune Booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
This is sponsored by Purina. During these uncertain times, people aren't the only ones adjusting to spending more time than usual indoors. Our furry friends have also had to adapt. According to a recent 2020 study, 94% of pet owners rely on their pet for emotional support. That's why it's important to have a daily routine for our pets, including exercise and enrich activities, in order to maintain their health and happiness along with ours. Dr. Kurt Venator, Purina's chief veterinary officer, shares some tips.
Most pets love the extra attention they're getting these days, but some may become overstimulated or stressed as we all adjust to being at home together. Help keep your pet healthy and happy by sticking to a routine for meals, treats, and playtime. And just like people, our pets also need exercise. Get creative with indoor activities like tug of war, hide and seek, or laser pointer play.
To learn more on how to keep your pets engaged, happy, and healthy during quarantine, visit www.purina.com/homewithpets. Again, that's purina.com/homewithpets.
Hey, DC. There's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
Yeah, take note. It's amazing how many of them don't remember, and I can appreciate why you get so frustrated. But this is what it's all about here at Bill Martinez Live. We're going to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. And, you know, fortunately for us, we have good friends like Bill Federer, brilliant people. And I'm just so blessed to know him and to have him on the show and to share his brilliance with all of you, because he is such a blessing. He is the noted historian and best-selling author, and he gives us the American Minute every day, and it is brilliant. And before we get into it, because we're going to talk about Machiavelli, Alinsky, and the criminal mind, and FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover, kind of interesting. Well, I'll tell you, Bill, when we have topics like this, it's like, can we have the whole day, maybe? You know, I know your time is precious. But real quick, before we get into this, we were talking, the last time we talked, you had shared with me that you and your wife went through the COVID experience yourself, huh?
Right. I spoke in Albany, New York, and spent time with a book table, and then came back to Florida, and the pastor called and said, the person that you were spending time with had it, and sure enough, I started getting fevers, and about 3 weeks worth of fevers and chills and a cough and so forth. And you can tell it's not a normal virus, so that, you know, the reports are coming out that it was a created one, that they had a, you know, bioterrorism lab in
right.
China, because it goes through different waves. You start feeling better, and then it goes into a hacking cough. But anyway, we're great now. But, you know, the Alinsky concept is so important to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a revolution. France had a revolution. France's revolution was fueled by the Jacobins. These were people that met on a club on Jacob Street, and so they called them Jacobins. And they were into not just getting rid of the king of France, but getting rid of the royalty, getting rid of the whole social order, getting rid of all structure, getting rid of God, getting rid of... And they were anarchists. Their idea was, let's tear all the current structure down. They really didn't give much thought to what was going to take its place.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is the basis for communism, Marxism, and so forth. Tear down the existing order, and then mm-hmm. everything will be fine. But what happens is you tear it down, there's confusion. Out of the confusion comes a strong man, a gang leader, a dictator. And so now you're back in where you started. Right? You get rid of the...
Or maybe even worse off.
Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. So this concept went into what's called socialism, and all the teachings of, you know, tear down. So you had an anarchist that assassinated the American president, William McKinley. Then Teddy Roosevelt's the next president. Teddy Roosevelt wants to track down anarchists, and he starts the Bureau of Investigation, 1908. And then you have an anarchist kill the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, starts World War One. And so the Bureau of Investigation is now called the Federal Bureau of Investigation, name changed in 1935. The head of it's J. Edgar Hoover. And for 48 years, under 8 different presidents, he leads the FBI, catches Machine Gun Kelly and John Dillinger, and starts using fingerprints. And but he was tasked by FDR to track down anarchists and communists. And Hoover said the communist threat from without must not blind us from the communist threat within.
Mm, yes.
And he goes on to saying that they have launched to the very heart of America espionage agents, cunning, defiant, lawless communist party, so forth. And so in 1963, you had a congressman from Florida named Albert Herlong, and he reads the goals for the communists taking over America. And they're... get control of the schools, get control of the yes. churches, swap out, you know, revealed religion with social justice, get control of the student newspapers, get control, and you just check them off. They've done every one of them.
Exactly. I was going to say, it wasn't like as if this was a future manifesto. This had already been a sealed deal.
Yeah, and you see the strategies that they use, again, goes back to causing a crisis that caused people to surrender their freedoms.
Mm-hmm.
So during the French Revolution, the Yale president is Timothy Dwight. He gives an address. He talks about these anarchists, and he says, adultery, assassination, poisonings, and other crimes were taught as lawful, provided the end was good.
Yes.
He goes on, the good end they propose is the overthrow of religion, government, human society. These they pronounce to be so good that murder, butchery, and war are completely justifiable. And so here you think, would somebody actually want to do something bad in order to push a political agenda? And, you know, my response is, if their agenda includes killing innocent babies,
yes,
is there anything that they can't justify?
Right. Exactly.
And so there's what's called the consequentialism,
mm-hmm.
this idea that the goodness of a act is based on the desired consequence. And so if your goal is good, then you can do anything to get there. Lie, cheat, steal. Now, obviously, this is against Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, you know, be deceitful and lying just so you can spread the good news. Mm-hmm. No, you have to trust God, stand up for righteousness, and trust him to open the doors to share it, mm-hmm. but you don't subversively do stuff. But that's not what these people think.
Yeah, you got to ask the question, you know, what is good? And, you know, if they've determined it unto themselves, because even at that one point in the meeting where an individual came and asked him, I think it was one of the Pharisees, says, oh, good teacher. And Jesus was quick to say, you know, God is only God is good. And so if you're using any other standard but God, then, again, you're back to seeing things according to your own eyes and your own standards.
And so the idea of creating crises, Karl Marx, Frederick Engels, they wrote in their writings, he says, conspirators for organizing the revolutionary proletariat or the working class, mm-hmm. he says their business consists in spurring it into artificial crises. They are alchemists of the revolution. So it talks about they want to create crises.
Mm-hmm.
Another great quote from David Horowitz. He's a current writer who's exposed communist. He says, the issue is never the issue. The issue is always the revolution.
Exactly.
He says, you have civil rights, women's rights. He goes, that's not the real issue. Those are they're instruments in the larger cause, which is power. And so you want to, Frederick Engels writes, every new crisis must be more serious and universal than the last. It must ruin more small capitalists.
Exactly.
And increase the number who live only by their labor. It'll increase the number of unemployed, and a commercial crisis will lead to a social revolution. These guys are actually wanting to put small businessmen out of work.
Yeah. Well, they got to be loving what's going on right now. You see, to me, this all smacks of what Barack Obama titled the fundamental transformation of America, does it not?
Right, and Obama was a follower of Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals says the first step in community organizing is community disorganizing, the disruption of the present order. He says the organizer must rub raw the resentments of a community, fan the latent hostilities, search out controversy, create issues or problems, stir up dissatisfaction and discontent. So in other words, a community organizer is one who causes problems,
mm-hmm.
and stirs up problems or takes advantage of coincidental problems.
So exactly. And associates with and associates with other anarchists like, Pastor Jeremiah Wright.
Yeah. Here you have Obama's campaign advisor, Rahm Emanuel, said, never let a good crisis go to waste. It's an opportunity to push your agenda. And interestingly enough, Hillary Clinton just used that quote a
exactly.
couple weeks ago.
Interesting. And about 30 seconds left, Bill. I'll let you sum it up. Yeah, go ahead.
She's talking about this pandemic, that we don't want to let a terrible crisis go to waste. So they're looking at this social crisis as an opportunity to push their big government agenda, take away rights and freedoms. You know, instead of the church being a collateral damage, maybe shutting up the church is the goal.
Yes.
And you look at every totalitarian regime, they want to shut up the church. Why? Because it empowers the individual. Says you have rights that come from a creator higher than the government, and it, you know, empowers people. They don't want that. They want
exactly.
To be
gotta leave it there. Bill Federer, thank you, Bill. Take care.
Global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages.
This season has marked an exciting development for the Tide Gospel Radio Ministry. We're now broadcasting the good news of Jesus Christ in 27 languages. Our two newest radio programs reach the people of Pakistan in the Pashto and Saraiki languages. The Pashtun people are very strict about traditions and closed to outside influence. Likewise, those we're reaching through the Saraiki language are heavily influenced by Islam. That's why it's so important that we continue to work with local partners who know the language, culture, and the customs. And we're honored to be working in partnership with Pakistan Christian Recording Ministry to reach many new people for Jesus in Pakistan.
For more information about how the Tide International Radio Ministry is making a difference in the lives of listeners in two new languages in Pakistan, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The 69th National Day of Prayer being held today despite the pandemic, although it is being held in a bit of a different way. Because of the pandemic, the event is being held online, with organizers saying the need for prayer among God's people is greater than ever. The year-round movement hopes to rally prayer for America and to inspire revival. Meanwhile, President Trump is still talking about hoping to revive the U.S. economy.
We can't keep our country closed down for years, and we have to do something.
The president saying yesterday Americans won't stand the stay-at-home orders much longer, though he says people of certain ages and with underlying conditions are still going to have to practice social distancing. He says the pandemic is worse than Pearl Harbor and the 9/11 attacks. This is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save. Bill Martinez.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, just about 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It is time for VDH Victor Davis Hanson to join us, a senior fellow in military history at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, a professor emeritus of classics at California State University Fresno, author of some, two dozen books and counting. Of course, the recent most celebrated one, The Case for Trump, that the president gave you a nice shout out the other day, huh?
I didn't hear it, did he? I didn't.
He tweeted. It's a great new book, The Case for Trump, by Victor Davis Hanson, Hoover Senior Fellow. So that was a nice deal, and I thought that maybe the president should have extra copies, so when he deals with this antithetical mainstream media and these got you people, that he might give them the book. So in lieu of a maybe a 20-hour recitation on all the great things the president has done on behalf of the country, they could read your book and get a real quick summary and proven research to back it up.
Well, I hope they would see why they lost in 2016 and why I think they're headed for the same destiny, since they don't seem to have learned anything or forgotten anything.
Well, that's the problem with ideologues, right? I think another author has says that you can get yourself so siloed and ideologically fixed that you render yourself stupid. Because you're not open for conversation. You're not really advancing the debate. You are stubbornly set in your own fixation.
I think so. I think they get into a bubble, and so they have these fake news things that Trump says to drink Lysol or Clorox, and they go crazy for a day. And then the next thing is that he wants to use UV, ultraviolet light inside your lungs, or just a distortion. And then they get way off on the tangent, and they talk to each other, and then they convince each other that he's going to lose, and look at this poll, and look at that, and they never look at the landscape. And what they're doing now is the narrative was that Trump didn't react quickly enough to the virus, and therefore he's killing thousands of people. I think Nancy Pelosi said he fiddled white people died, and people in New Hampshire, somebody said he had blood on his hands. And now, as the virus has peaked, and I think it's going in warm weather and maybe mutations or maybe the social distancing is starting to decline, I think the new narrative will be Trump kept us in too long and now he's Herbert Hoover who ruined the economy. But the common denominator is that whatever he's for, they're even against. In time of crisis, they're against.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's clear. And for Nancy Pelosi as a leader in the House to make these kind of statements on behalf of the American people is disgusting. This is not fair, but this is the problem, and this is why we're at each other's throat right now at a time when we should be unified against this invisible enemy. We have such a division in our country that is really compromising blue state governors as well, because I've maintained, Victor, that these blue state governors, had they been in unity, not in total agreement with the president, but at least in unity with the mission objective, they'd have been better served, and they would have been part of a united voice. Instead, we have states that are on their own disparate perspective, and they're really misserving their constituency, are they not, by doing that?
Yeah, I think the data, I don't want to be partisan, but the data supports that. I think there's a piece on Law and Liberty today by James Rogers that analyzes state governors' reactions vis-a-vis and their legislatures vis-a-vis fatalities from the coronavirus, adjusted for population, and the blue state governors haven't done as well. And it's not because they're bad people. He just says that they either got an ideological bent, or they were rigid, they were not flexible and reacted to the data, or they were not prepared for this emergency in a way that other people, because they had other agendas on that they were more concerned with. And when you look at the total number, I guess we're up to near 75,000 have died. Mm-hmm. Well, about 55% of them come from just three states, Massachusetts, exactly, New Jersey, and New York. And if you look at their population, they're only about 11 or 12% of the entire population of the country, and yet they've got 55% of the deaths. And the question is, well, why do the three biggest states, Texas, Florida, and California, maybe it's population density, maybe it's weather, but they're 90 million people and they only account for, I think it's 5,500 of the 7,500 deaths. And the answer,
75,000 deaths,
that,
right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 75,000, excuse me. I think the answer is that there were some really bad decisions made concerning the subways, not cleaning them, not social distancing them in New York and New Jersey and Massachusetts, as well as that disastrous order, which I think was the worst thing that's happened, of ordering these infected patients into these very vulnerable nursing homes in New York. And
that became a killing field, basically, by doing that, right?
It was. And what I can't figure out about it, maybe you can help me, is why, given that culpability on the part of Andrew Cuomo, is he considered sort of a national progressive icon because of his press conferences, whereas everything he said has been accurate. He was basically telling us that if Trump didn't give him 24,000 ventilators, he was going to have to choose who was going to live and die. And then when he got all of these ventilators, they weren't used, and he wanted a hospital ship. And then there was just a misallocation of resources, because there were some hospitals where corpses were piling up, and then others where they were completely empty. And yet he was every day going on there
as sort of a hands-on executive and often attacking the president. So, and then I don't know how that equates into effective leadership of the sort that would recommend you to be president.
Well, it really doesn't. You know, I think Dan Crenshaw, he has written an excellent book, a former SEAL congressman, and who lost an eye in, you know, serving our country in the Middle East. And, you know, people may see the book and they go, oh, this is another SEAL story. No, it really is a common sense approach. And he talks about, in fact, his approach is very similar to the admiral, if you remember, that spoke to the graduating class, I think it was in Virginia, and said the first thing you need to do every day is make your bed. You know, if you make your bed, that's going to be a big difference, right? So very practical stuff like, you know, why do you leave your shopping cart out in the aisle of the parking lot? Why don't you bother to just take it back and put it away? I mean, simple things like that. But my point, one of the things, key points that he makes in SEAL training that he learned is called still. That when things happen to you, you need to grab an assessment, have some situational awareness, and be still and assess what's going on. And I think that what happened when this thing got caught up, people reacted emotionally. They abandoned reason and they started reacting. And the president got, he got called, he got, you know, captured into this as well, because the political forces and the mainstream media just said, hey, even though it was kind of interesting, as you said earlier, he was maligned for not, you know, for shutting down the airport. And then later on was congratulated for doing that and was estimated that he saved millions of lives for shutting down the airport. But Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats and the antitheticals have to find a reason to be contrarian, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think Trump was so sensitive to the charge that he was unscientific or not listening to experts that at the end, and my only criticism is that he was a little bit less critical. In other words, when we look back at what Anthony Fauci said in January, that this virus was nothing to worry about, it was like a severe flu year, or when we were told by the Surgeon General or the CDC or the NIH that always wear masks, never wear masks, sometimes wear masks, or we're told that you can get infected by touching surface. No, it's by droplets. No, it's by aerosol, coughing. And then we were told antibodies give you immunity, sort of immunity, maybe not, we don't know. The virus is mutating, it's not going to be as lethal. No, it's mutating, it's going to get more lethal. Ventilators are what saves people's lives. No, don't put somebody on a ventilator, they'll die from it. And we got all of these experts with these alphabetic letters after their name that were so haughty. 2 million are going to die. No, 300,000. No, 80,000. No, 60. No, 80. And
yes.
Finally, the public just said, you know what? These are not doctors on the front lines that are dealing with real patients that see how to treat them and learning empirically whether hydroxychloroquine works or not, or they're knowing where you could have got. We've got to listen to these people.
And we're going to talk more about that as well. We've got to go to a quick break. We've got more from Victor Davis Hanson after this.
Now that mortgage rates are at all-time lows, the question is, what are you waiting for? Say goodbye to those high mortgage payments and high interest rates on your credit cards.
Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman. And no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates ever. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068.
Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
Maybe you could relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So, yes, they can help share your needs, too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 855-SHARE-40. That's 855-SHARE-40. 855-SHARE-40.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, America. Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour, and we're continuing our conversation with Victor Davis Hanson, the author of the book, The Case for Trump. And we've got an updated version of the book, right? Paperback that's been out since early March that the president gave a big shout-out to and congratulated you on. So that's good news. So tell our audience about the paperback that's available now.
Well, I updated it right after the election and right before impeachment, but I try to revise things, but I didn't have to revise much. I just sort of said in the original hardback, I had warned people that they had not listened to the people and then underestimated, the resilience of Trump and mm-hmm. that while he would be impeached, he wouldn't be convicted. I think that was right. And
right.
that the Mueller investigation was going to come to nothing, which it did come to nothing, but that they would continue to try to find any means necessary to achieve their end of aborting this presidency. And I think they're still doing it.
Yeah, without a doubt. I want to go back to what you were saying earlier in terms of the buy-in that the president, I believe, was forced to hold on to and go along with in terms of these doctors and these scientists. And then we find out here
recently that Professor Neil Ferguson, the academic whose modeling evidence has been central to not just, England and Boris Johnson, France, I think the World Health Organization as well. And if you go back to the early reports of his credibility, I mean, we're talking, he's the founder and his colleagues of the Imperial College, the MRC Center for Global Infectious Disease Analysis. These are the same people that gave us those outlandish models for global warming, which never happened. So how does he live another day to have enough credibility to influence the World Health Organization, all these countries, but particularly the United States, to shut us down? How does that happen?
Well, I wrote an article about it called the Eeyore Syndrome, and what I meant by that was that in the University of Washington, it just has been as culpable as those, the modelers in California that said by now we'd have 25 million cases and about a million dead, or Mike DeWine, who said on March 12th there was already 100,000 cases, which at the death rate would be 2,500 in Ohio, which they haven't reached yet. Mm-hmm. So why do these people get away with it without any culpability or remorse? And the answer is they always pose as the pessimist. And then it's a win-win situation, they think, because they say, well, I was wrong, mm-hmm. it turned out, but because I scared you, I did that deliberately to scare you with this model, and then you made the necessary adjustments, so my model has to react to that. But if I hadn't have given you this 2 million dead, then you might not have enacted this policy. And then if they happen to be right, they said, well, I warned you. Well, the poor optimist, when he is more realistic and less emotional, they say, well, you're only right because I scared people, and then they did things, and they made your prognosis more correct. And then, of mm-hmm. course, the optimist, if he's off a little bit, then, well, you've got blood on your hands. You underestimated.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why they do it. That's why they're so pessimistic. And all of these doctors have been, and no one's ever said, but we were hearing at the very beginning 3 to 4%, four people in every 100, not one or two in every 1,000 were going to die.
Right.
And I think the virus has got this name Corona. If it was influenza C, just the name, even though it's a different virus, it wouldn't have terrified people. But it's a very deadly disease. If it gets into your lungs mm-hmm. and you're one of these very vulnerable groups, it can be a horrible thing. But for most people, it doesn't get to that stage either because they're active or they're younger or they don't have health issues or they're not exposed to an initial viral load of thousands of vira. But they don't tell us that. And that's what's really disturbing, that life is a matter of choices. Every day we make choices, even though we're not aware that we're doing so.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be I'm really worried about the toll. Living here in the San Joaquin Valley of California mm-hmm. in a very impoverished community, what it's doing to small entrepreneurs, farm laborers, people who work in plants, Uber driver, the whole gig economy, they're getting wiped out. And then if you go to a doctor's office, there's no one there, and there's nobody in the hospital emergency rooms. It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a neutron bomb hit the United States, and it left the infrastructure, but it's destroying lives.
Well, the very thing that Donald Trump warned us about, and that is, do not let the cure be worse than the disease. I mean, we're right there, are we not?
I think we are. And there were a lot of voices, especially where I work at the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, and very liberal Stanford Medical School people, nevertheless, were very, very empirical, and they warned us again and again and again that the virus had been here earlier, that it had spread wider, and that we were not using the proper denominator, that it wasn't as lethal as we were told, and that there were going to be real costs to shutting down this government. And they were absolutely right, and they were absolutely demonized for it. That's what I resent the most, is two things. Is one, the medical community is censoring people who are on the front lines and they have legitimate concerns or they have practical experience or they want to contribute to the discussion, and they're not being listened to. And then these governors are destroying the First, the Second, and the Fourth and Fifth Amendments under the guise that, this is World War II or the Civil War, and they can suspend habeas corpus or something. And it's really scary how quickly that they assume power based on so little actual national threat. I mean, I'm speaking from a state of 40 million people, mm-hmm. and we've had 2,200 people die, and we lose 800 a day from other causes.
Exactly.
And so we shut the fifth largest economy in the world down.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm concerned about, and I know you say that this as well, Victor, is that this conditions us. I mean, this is a whole new level of reaction and fear-mongering that we, the people, have been conditioned to respond to. And we need to quickly assess what happened to us so that we can push back on these draconian measures that some of these governors have taken. They've overstepped their bounds. Bill Barr has stepped in and said, you know, we can't allow these draconian measures and these aggressive steps that some of these governors have been taking. And they're moving against some of these governors. But it really is, as it comes down to, this is a government of for by we the people. We the people need to be informed so that they can intelligently respond to not let this happen to us again, because this is very dangerous.
It's very dangerous, and it's very different even than the 2008 meltdown or the dot-com meltdown or the Great Depression, because the fundamental principles of this economy are very sound, mm-hmm. and we've got great infrastructure. We're not at war, and we're dealing with a virus, and we've done it in 1958, 1967, 68 that killed over 100,000 Americans. We dealt with it without destroying an economy. And more importantly, as you said, I'm worried that we're inculcating to millions of people that you can stay home and get paid, and there's something noble about not going out of your house. And that becomes sort of a lotus eater, you know,
exactly.
sort of lounge around attitude. And it's going to be very hard for people to reacculturate and say, you know what, I got to get out there and go attack the day and get out and take
yes.
my normal risk and build and create. And if I get ill, and I always do this during the flu season, so I'm going to do it now. If I get ill, I'm going to deal with that, but I'm not going to sit here a prisoner of this virus.
Well, the other thing, too, I think we need to be careful to keep our eye on the ball and not get distracted. I know there's a lot of controversy happening on the Hill regarding China. Want to blame China, look for some, you know, some sort of compensation, that sort of thing, as opposed to doing what you said, and that is we got to get back to work. I have found in my experience that if I start focusing too much energy and attention on that which is lost as opposed to that which can be found, It is deleterious, and that's just my experience, and I think we're running a risk here to emotionalize this topic. I'm not saying that China should be able to get off scot-free, but I think we need to use a measured emotional response and investment to that particular issue. What do you think?
Well, I agree. I think that the best way to get even with China is to get back and return to the world's largest economy. And then tell our trading partners, this is our version of an economic system, and it works, and we're going to supply the world with ventilators and test kits, and we're back at work, and we're producing goods, and look at this system over here. It doesn't work very well. It's dishonest, but that's a much better approach mm-hmm. than let's cancel Chinese debt or let's do this or that to them. And so I'd rather be very strong and then humiliate them by our strength than just sit around and say, you owe us this and you owe us that. We're going to do this to you. They don't have any respect for weakness. Mm-hmm. They don't have any respect for magnanimity. The only thing they respect is strength and power. And that's what we have to get back to. And once we're that way, we'll be in a position to say to them, you know what? This trade thing has to be resolved. You were culpable. Do you want to resolve it? Because you're in a very weak position now. Because their brand has suffered all over the world. Mm-hmm. But the way to do that is not sit around in your house and then whine that they did this to us. It's to say, you know what? They did their best, their worst, and they mm-hmm. still didn't screw us over. We still
exactly.
recovered. And that's our attitude that we have to have.
Yeah, you know, I believe, like you, that we have an opportunity to come back stronger. Experience defines preference, and I think that we're going to find ourselves manufacturing our own products again, having more control of the things that we subordinated to China at a grave expense. We're seeing what the cost has been. And so we say to all the manufacturers and businesses and the new ideas coming down to the pike, you know, welcome home. America is open for business, and we're excited. He is the author of the book, The Case for Trump, now released in paperback, updated. Victor Davis Hanson right here on Bill Martinez Live. Victor, always appreciate it, Professor. You're awesome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you for having me.
So you're wearing a mask every day now?
Yeah.
Where are you getting them?
Same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com.
Really?
And they're handmade, just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks, and they make cloth face masks, too.
Good price?
That's the best part. 10 masks for only $6.
Wow.
As a public service, sunnybay.com is now making cloth face masks by hand in the Seattle area and sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality disposable face masks for only $6, or choose a handmade, washable, reusable cloth face mask with high 2 layers of quality cotton fabrics. Supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunnybay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or cloth face masks. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking.